welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So again, welcome to any of you who might be visiting with us for the first time. We're so glad that you're here and that you came out to Door of Life. Praise God. And just so you know, I usually do shave in the morning and just came from a retreat and I actually forgot my razor. So anyway, but yes, it's usually a little different way we roll, but this is, you got a good flavor for just the spirit, the ministry and the spirit of God that's here through worship and the word. And we're so excited we get to enjoy the Word of God this morning. Carla Orgel is going to minister to us the Word of God, and she is a wonderful woman of God. Yes, a dear sister knitted deeply into this precious Door of Life family, and we're so thankful, and I know that the Lord just blesses Carla. She just really has a, you know, it all starts with a relationship with the Lord, and everything kind of flows from that. You know, anything Jesus did, he said, hey, look, I'm just saying what I hear the Father say. I'm just doing what I see the Father do. It all starts with that, and we've just appreciated and respected this wonderful woman of God and her walk with the Lord. And we're just excited to welcome you this morning, Carla, as you share the Word of God and what the Lord's put in your heart. So let's welcome Carla this morning. Praise God. Excited.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. Hello. Hello. Do I need to test myself this morning? Hello, I'm A-okay. Okay, good. All right. So, pretty darn excited to be up here this morning. The message that I'm bringing this morning, it's been a labor of love that actually started last October, because I was supposed to be up here last October and filling in for Pastor Ed, and then I got COVID. And then in December, I had a scheduling conflict. And so let's just say that this message has been building and building and building. And my heart is pounding right now, not necessarily because I'm nervous, although that might be a little bit of it too, but I'm really excited about what God is going to share this morning and what he has already shared through the incredible worship this morning. It really does go hand in hand. Praise God. I am... Yeah, calm down, Carla, calm down. Yeah. I want to start out with a scripture that ministers to me as it ministers to you, because it puts me in my rightful place. And it says 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5, and it's Paul speaking, and he says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, my faith, should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And that's where I'm coming from this morning. And Father God, I'm your mouthpiece, but you're the voice and the words that I'm speaking this morning. You are the power behind this message, and I'm trusting you to speak to every heart here, every heart online, individually. You have a message for each one of us this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way. I thank you, I trust you, and I'm excited to be doing this with you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. 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 So, I have to start out with kind of a depressing passage of scripture, I'm sorry to say. God's kind of wanting to start at ground zero and work us up from there, okay? And you'll see how this all ties in, okay? I need to read a passage of scripture out of Isaiah, and it's the first chapter, and it's a little sobering. And it's the Lord speaking. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me?" says the Lord. "I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They're a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Hang in there with me, okay? It gets better. Then he took me to a passage in the New Testament, and it's Matthew 6, but it's out of the Message. And if you're familiar with the Message at all, the Message translation, it can be pretty blunt sometimes, and this is no exception. And in there it says, "And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. Oh, they're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply." And then, of course, it goes on into the Lord's Prayer. As I was reading these scriptures, and again, God has just taken me from place to place, okay? And I think what you're going to sense here, I maybe want to preface this a little bit. Since October, I've been going down several trails, all under a common theme. And so this is all going to come together, okay? But just hang with me, okay? So as I'm going before the Lord and I'm saying, okay, what's this all about? I wrote this down, and I just want to read it right out of what I wrote. Formulas, routine, going through the motions, making sure we stay on task with our Bible reading plan, knowing which verses to declare and decree for each adverse life situation as they pop up, doing good works, being on the treadmill of performance, giving our laundry list of prayers to the Lord without waiting for his response. Just a quick, "Your will be done, Lord." "Here's my list of unsaved loved ones. Your will be done, Lord." "Here's my list of needs for this week. Your will be done, Lord." "Here's what my family, my friends need help with. Your will be done, Lord." "Oh, and I'm sure you feel the same way I do on this subject. And oh, and that's the answer I want, and I'm sure that's the answer that you want to give me." I see a one-way conversation, and it's us doing all the talking. It's us doing what we know to do without ever stepping foot in front of the throne of your grace, without engaging, without waiting to hear you speak. I see you, Holy Spirit, trying to get our attention. God, you want to engage. You want to speak. You have something to say. I see you beckoning, and I hear you saying, "Wait, can we talk about this? Can I share my perspective with you, my plans? Can we explore and look at my will for this? Can I point you to my words in my word that will comfort you, that will give you direction, that will guide you? Will you let me speak to you through my word? Let's do this together." And then it was 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. The footnote in my Bible says this: "Some will maintain an outward pretense, speaking the vocabulary of Christianity," I call it Christianese, "but refusing the reality that Christian faith expresses. The power they deny is the heart of Christianity. It's the fact of a risen Redeemer. It's the truth of the inspired word and the indwelling and the overflowing of the Holy Spirit working within believers, you and me, and transforming their lives, you and me." One more hard scripture, and then I promise you it goes way up from there. Colossians 2:23, and I didn't even put it on my PowerPoint this morning, because I'm like, okay, these are so important, but I want to get to the more encouraging. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body. Ouch. And I don't know where my clicker is. Here it is. Okay, there we go. Am I on? Switch? Okay. There we go. Okay. No, going wrong direction? Yay, there we are. Okay. This is in Matthew 11. This is all also out of the message, but it's good. It nails it. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And then he gave me the three words that are the title of the message for today, and it's simply this: come up higher. And I'm so glad I have this instead of the microphone, because I'm a person that talks like this, so you'd be getting half the message this morning. So, come up higher. Okay, Lord, it's a good thought. How do I do that? How do we do that? What does that even mean? I want to know your heart on this. So on December 27th, I sat with my journal and my pen, and I waited. And he gave me this word. And it's for all of us. I left out the personal parts. Come up higher, my child. Seek my ways, my will, my timing. Trust my timing, my child. Do not be afraid. It's not lofty thinking. It's me. It's my thoughts infused in you. Wilderness? I think not. Rest? I think yes. Come up higher as you rest in me. Meet me in the secret place, and I will reveal my secrets to you. Do not beat yourself up. Do not allow the enemy's lies and treachery to deceive you. Do not live under his condemnation, but instead live under my redemption, my truth of who you are. Allow my cleansing to wash over you, to make you white as snow. Oh, do not try to rationalize or analyze that which is not from me. The thoughts of the devil cannot be reconciled. There is no truth in him, for he is the father of lies. Instead, take captive every thought and make it obedient unto me, for my ways are higher, and I have overcome the world. For in me you will have peace. In me you will have truth. In me you will have freedom such as you have never known. Allow my truth to wash over you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Walk with me and talk with me, for I am your God. My Son is your Savior. My Spirit is in you and is your guide. Lay it all at my feet, my child, for I am yours and you are mine. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust me, my child. Trust my plan for your life. Fear not, Carla, please insert your own name here. Fear not. I am with you every step of the way. I will not let your foot slip. What I ask you to do, I will equip you to do, and you will do it all under the shadow of my wings, under my protection, with my grace, my love, my mercy flowing in and through you. Watch and see. Watch and hear. Watch and be obedient. For I am your God, the Holy One, who was and is to come. Do not compare. Only run the race I have set before you at the rate and at the pace I have set for you, all in my strength, in my provision, and in my love. You are mine, Carla. Please insert your name there. I have called you by name. I love you, dear one. And a little further down, and just another little excerpt, I just want to, he said this to me as well, or I sense it in my spirit. Learn and grow in me, sweet one. Trust and forgive. As I have forgiven, so you will forgive. In my strength and with my love coursing through you. You are my beloved. As I perform my word, so you will perform my word. Oh, do not get tripped up by the word perform. You will not perform, but you will be my hands, my feet, and my mouthpiece. Amen. One more little piece that he added on before we go into the scriptures that are going to show up what I just shared with you. He simply says this: I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your religion. I just want you. I want your heart. I want you to know my heart. Come up higher. Give me your heart, and I will give you mine. Hallelujah. So then he unpacked scriptures for me. And the first one is Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And honestly, that passage has tripped me up in the past, because we can so easily believe that his ways are higher than our ways and that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and therefore, they're just not for us to know, right? He corrected me on this and basically said, my ways are higher than your ways, and that's why I'm calling you up higher. Amen. Jeremiah 9:24 says, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. In these I delight, says the Lord. He doesn't delight in sacrifices. He doesn't delight in our religion. Oh, but he delights in us understanding and knowing him. He delights in us coming up higher. Praise God. And he also wants us to know what's ahead. And I'm going to be able to prove that with you, to you in scripture as well, okay? So we can easily shrug our shoulders and think, again, it's not for us to know. His ways are beyond our knowing, okay? And this can happen, especially as we think of God as being sovereign. And oh, he is sovereign, okay? But when you mix in, I don't know if any of you know the old Doris Day song, decades ago, but I'm not going to sing it, but the chorus is, que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to seize, que sera, sera. When you mix that all in, you can just look at the Lord in your prayer and go, your will be done, and walk away. And all the while, I sense God saying, do you want to know my will? Come up higher and linger with me. So, we get to get to some good stuff here now. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him, Jesus, at his right hand in the heavenly places. Note that. far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, yea, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Oh my, there's so much packed right in there, okay? But before I go on, take note of what I underlined. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, that's Ephesians 1. I love Ephesians. Let's go on. The very next chapter. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and guess what? Raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Okay, so back in Ephesians 1, just a few verses ago, we're being told that God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand of him in the heavenly places. Well, guess who else is there? If you're a believer, you're there too. Amen. I'm there too. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Okay? Keep going. Ephesians, we're still in Ephesians. Just the three verses down in that first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now we're going to keep going. But this time it's in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Come up higher.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, does he really want us to know his will? Well, he talks about that in Ephesians 2. Imagine that first chapter. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And dare I say, it gets better. This was revelation to me that, you know, I don't even know what to say. I'm just going to let him speak. Lord, okay, I'll just let you speak through your word. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you hear the que sera, sera in there? Oh, but keep going. But God, yes, this is my emphasis, has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? And even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, as I prayed in my original prayer this morning, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he hear them, because they are spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of course, that goes on to say, and it was getting a little long on the frame there. We have the mind of Christ, which calls us up higher. All right? One more. Revelation 4:1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Come up here. Come up higher. Come up higher to just be in his presence. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone as they've been on their cell phone? Either they're checking it or they're texting, and you know how that goes. Yeah, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. What'd you say? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, really, I am. I'm listening. Now you know how God feels when we are in his presence, but we're not engaged with him. when we're reading our Bible, handing over our list of prayers, without ever acknowledging that He is right here, right now with us, okay? And if you are feeling any sort of correction, oh, believe me, I felt it first, okay? So just, I'm right here with you, okay? I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you. This is a conversation, okay, between all of us. So it's just that I'm the one that gets to talk. It's about just being. It's about being fully engaged in fellowship. It's about building relationship. It's about exploring who He is, who we are in Him, and it is about exploring our identity in Him. Both the common denominators that we have with each other, but also our unique identity, our individuality in Him. You need to look no further than your own fingers, okay? No one else in the world has fingerprints like yours. No one. No one. So if God gave you a set of fingerprints that no one else in the world has, what else has He given you that no one in the world has? It's time for you to come up higher and find out. Okay? What else did He put in you that makes you unique, that makes you the only person that can walk out His unique plan, His unique purpose, His unique destiny, designed and planned, not for the person sitting next to you, but just for you? Let Him reveal His heart to you, about you, and for you. Come up higher. Come up higher to see your life from His perspective, through His eyes, from heaven's perspective. You know, Scripture tells us that in His presence is fullness of joy. Joy is a constant in your life. I don't care how dark your life looks at any given moment, joy is a constant. It's not the same as happiness. Happiness is in the natural. That can come and go, okay, with your circumstances. Joy is a constant because you, as a believer, are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are in every one of us. Oh, our giftings may look different, but we have the fruits. One of them is joy. Joy is a choice. You have a choice to tap into what's already in you. Okay? If you don't have joy right now, that's your choice, not God's. Okay? And again, that's to lift you up and not press you down. To know God, we also have to know that we have an enemy, the devil, working against us. And we need to know how to recognize him. Because remember back in Ephesians when it said, come up higher, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And he talks about this in 1 John 5:19-20. And the Passion Translation does a nice job with this one. We know that we are God's children. That's a given. And that the whole world lies under the misery and influence of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has made our understanding come alive so that we can know by experience the one who is true. And we are in him who is true. God's Son, Jesus Christ, the true God, and eternal life. So logic would tell us right there that if there's a true God, there's a false God, okay? And the Word, Jesus, equip us to know the difference, to distinguish between the two. The difference between the one true living God, the one true light of the world, and the one who tries to fool us by mimicking God. Oh, he's the father of lies who masquerades as an angel of light. And yeah, there is a balance. C.S. Lewis points us to that. There's two ditches. We ignore the devil, we don't even believe he's real, and then on the other side, we give him so much attention that we magnify him. And he loves that. Okay? But Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." It's a balance. It's a balance. And in that balance, I will say this. Don't underestimate what the devil can do to create havoc in our lives and in our world. But don't underestimate what our God can do and already has done through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And absolutely do not underestimate the authority you have and I have over the devil because of our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Okay? Oh, it's spelled out in Colossians 2:14-15. And again, I think this is the passion. He, Jesus, canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. Oh, he was not their prisoner. They were his. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. But we got to keep going down this trail then. So then, all right, after reading that, why do we even have to be concerned about him anymore? He's done. He's done, right? So why do we find such verses as these in the Bible? Why does God say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Why does he say, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you? Why does he, in Ephesians 6, say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And of course, we know that goes on to explain. We've got the belt of truth. We've got the breastplate of righteousness. We've got our feet that are ready with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've got the shield of faith. We've got the helmet of salvation. We've got the sword of the Spirit. And we have continuous prayer. Okay. I need to sidestep here just a minute. So with our grandchildren, Seth, age 9, Sophie, age 6, we've been going through the armor of God. And their auntie has been helping them build their armor of God. And each week we're looking at a different piece, okay? I brought one piece that each one of them designed with the help of their auntie, okay? So, and it's just the shield of faith, all right? So we've got Seth's, all right? He's got his built here. And it's looking, you know, tough, colorful. Colorful, but tough, right? Okay, all right. He feels pretty fearless when this is in front of him. But then we have Sophie Kate's. Hers looks a little different. Okay. Just showing a contrast of perspectives from Seth to Sophie. And when you see their belt of truth, now Seth's is looking pretty tough, pretty manly. Sophie's has got birds and deer and a sunset and trees colored all over it. It's just a work of art. We just call it that she's telling the truth in love. So anyway, just to give you an idea. Again, going back to these verses. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In order to resist him, you need to be able to recognize him. You need to be able to recognize his ways so you can resist him. All right? Because it's true, the devil was soundly defeated at the cross 2,000 years ago. But you see, his strategy is to make you believe that he was not. His strategy is to make you believe that you are defeated, that you are the victim and not the victor, that you are worthless and not worthy. You see, his strategy is to keep you away from the truth that sets you free. His strategy is to keep you away from having a deeply intimate relationship with the one true living God, to keep you from the one who created you, the one who speaks and breathes life into you. And he hates the thought of you coming up higher. You see, he only has as much power as we give him. And if you come up higher, and you know the truth, capital T, Jesus, the way, the truth, and life, and you hang out with the truth, Jesus, and you exercise the authority you have been given in and through the truth, Jesus, he is rendered powerless. Remember what Jesus tells us. Devil wants to, it's summed up, his agenda is summed up in just one simple sentence. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. He wants to breathe and speak death into you. So until Jesus comes back, the devil will try to exercise his defeated power by masquerading as an angel of light, which means he will mimic the things of God. He will twist the truth of God just enough to draw you in, befool you, in order to fool people into carrying out his plans of destruction for themselves and for others. He's filling you with lies to believe about yourself, filling you with lies to believe about others. After all, he's the father of lies. His lies, deception, his divisiveness are still very real. Again, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What he can no longer do because of his defeat, he will manipulate and attempt to fool humans to do it for him. It's why he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, seeking those whom he can deceive into doing his dirty work. And as people do not take the devil seriously or recognize him or his devices, they can easily and unwittingly become his pawns. And they easily live a paralyzed life of defeat and fear. You see, he can declare war without ever lifting a finger. All he has to do is whisper a thought. And as humans, we easily take it from there and run with it. Remember his chat with Eve? I read where this person said this. Eve's first mistake was to engage with the snake in conversation. We are created to converse with God, not the devil. So remember what God said to me in my word that I shared with you this morning? Do not try to rationalize or analyze that which is not from me. The thoughts of the devil cannot be reconciled. There is no truth in him. Instead, take captive every thought and make it obedient unto me. And I do want to pull up that scripture. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. We come up higher to be on the offense rather than the defense. In the authority of Jesus Christ. It's about not being blindsided. It's about being proactive and not reactive. It is about not living a defeated life or a life of fear, because we have not been given a spirit of fear, of power, love, and a sound mind. Notice that it's a spirit of fear. Holy Spirit is in me. I have authority over this. Jesus, you have to go. You have to go. I want to give you just a basic example as I'm learning and growing in this, okay? I'm sure we've all known her, okay? Very high winds, all right? And the one particular day, I think this was a couple of months, warning. And on that wind warning, they said, there will be power out, will be damage to buildings and roofs. Okay. Well, I could have been reactive, which is the old me and went, ooh, well, I hope this goes well. Instead, I sense the Lord saying, the weather report does not have the final say. I do, but you need to pray, and here's what I want you to do. And that particular day, he called me to walk our property line. And as I did, I walked that property line and I said, in the name of Jesus, we will not lose our electricity. In the name of Jesus, our home, the garage, our trees are protected. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I got out to the road, and of course, I was just going to skirt down and come back up the driveway. And in that moment, I heard the Lord say, you're not done yet. Oh, my neighborhood. I've been placed in my neighborhood for just such a time as this. I have a responsibility to him. So I walked up and down our road, and our road does eventually go into a little circle, a residential area. And I walked that area, and I declared and I decreed the same things, and I pled the blood of Jesus over all. And when I got done, I was done. And I will say this, there was no damage in our neighborhood. There was no power outage in our neighborhood or at our house. But there was in other places. I know that there were parts of Door County that were without power in that particular windstorm for more than 24 hours. And all I could do was go, wow, Lord, lesson learned. Thank you, Father. I want him to quicken me as I come up higher. Quicken me to not just give in or just go, oh, I hope, yeah, all right. No, take up our authority, okay? Take up our authority that we have in him. And then he said, just as I'm calling you not to give in to a weather report, you know what? Remember, I have the final say. That's God speaking. I have the final say, all right? Now, this is nothing against doctors. That diagnosis is very the real deal. It can be very true. But that doctor, that diagnosis does not have the final say. Amen. All right? So I want to give you a little example that just happened to our family. Last month, we went to Iowa to celebrate, be part of a celebration of life for a very dear friend. Years ago, we lived in a cross state, and we lived in a touristy area, and we were surrounded by summer homes. And those summer residents became built-in grandparents to my kids, built-in parents to Scott and I. Their kids would come up, their grandkids would come up. I mean, man, we had some amazing summers just by where we lived. Now, we've been in Door County almost 20 years, but those relationships are still very close to us, okay? So one of our dear friends, Dick, note the year, 2017, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Death was imminent, okay? I'm going to say it again, 2017, all right? And Dick basically said at the time, I'm not going anywhere till I dance with my granddaughter at her wedding. Well, now here's the kicker. His granddaughter, Nicole, she had a fairly new boyfriend. She had no plans of getting married. She had years of college ahead of her. I mean, she's in the medical field. But she was dating a sweet young man and had no plans of getting married. She just got married this past October, 2021. Guess who danced with his granddaughter at her wedding? And guess who went home to be with Jesus? 2 months later, 3 months later, to the service. It was the sweet, sweet evangelical Lutheran church. Precious. But the spirit in there was precious. And as him, well, they had done a lot of work together. And she had funny part of this piece was that Dick had been lifelong in law enforcement. So there was row after row after row of police officers there to honor him. But it was when his own son got up, Michael, And of course, he told funny story after funny story, and he compared him and his dad to Andy Griffith and Opie from Mayberry RFD. Because, you know, more than once when he was a kid, you know, his dad was known to maybe in his police uniform go fishing with his son. It was sweet. But the reason I want to bring it up is this. Michael looked out over all of us, and he said, I just have to share this with you. I really don't like when people say that my dad lost his battle to cancer. My dad didn't lose his battle to cancer. He won. He's with Jesus. Things that he got to do because 2017 was not Dick's time. I want to go in this. If you're an optimist or you're a pessimist, either you see that glass is half full. What happens when we come up higher? What happens when we come up and see things from God's perspective, seeing things from Earth's view or just your own personal view? It's the difference between the glass overflowing with the rivers of living water or a dry, empty, cracked, about ready to shatter glass. I want to give you some biblical examples of that. David and Goliath. Everybody saw a giant except David. Everybody saw a giant. David saw that giant through the eyes of God. And he simply said, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He went on to say, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And boy, did he ever. Caleb and Joshua. 12 spies went to look out, scope out Canaan. Oh, they were all in agreement. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. That's where the agreement ended. Caleb was the first one to speak up. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. 10 of the remaining 11, we are not able to go up against these people. They're stronger than we. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight, the earthly view, not the come up higher view. Elisha and his servant. I love this story. Elisha's servant sees this huge army. And he looks at Elisha and says, what do we do? What do we do? And Elijah's answer was simple. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He didn't stop there, though. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then he did. And he saw a mighty army of God. Come up higher. Come up higher. One final one. And we are getting to the end here. Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles. Oh, he saw a vast army, but he knew who to go to. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Notice he didn't say, we don't know what to do, your will be done, and walk away. It goes on to say, now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. They stood there and waited. And the Lord answered them, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, do go down against them. There was direction. Then he's telling them what's coming. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of, I don't know, Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And of course, as we know, it goes on to say, and I'm looking at everybody that was on the worship team this morning, because you'd be out ahead of the army. They put the praisers out ahead of the army. Imagine how they felt. Okay. Put your praisers out ahead of the army. Not behind, ahead. Okay. And what happened? As they were praising the Lord, God was setting ambushes. and he defeated their enemies. But they had some things to do that they wouldn't have known if they hadn't come up higher and waited for his word. To know what is ahead, you can see so much further when you come up higher. And Isaiah 42, verse 9 simply says this, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them." You see, you can see things so much clearer when you see them from above, when you see them through God's eyes. And I will tell you this as I close. This come up higher, this whole message this morning must be a theme for the Lord for 2022. As I told you, this is kind of going back to October, and then things he revealed in November, and of course he gave me that word in December, and it's just been building, 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 right? Well, just a few days ago, Camille shared with me a social media post from Craig Cooney, and I don't know if you know who Craig Cooney is, but he's a pastor, and he's a prophetic voice from Ireland. And I just want to share an excerpt of his post, really as my closing, because it just beautifully recaps what the Lord gave me to share here today. And it says, "Come up higher. Come up higher. In my presence is your peace. In my presence is your power. In my presence is your provision. In my presence is fresh oil. In my presence is everything you need. Come up higher. Rise above the noise and the chaos and the turbulence. I want to shift your perspective and realign your perception. I want to show you the secrets of what is coming. I'm opening up fresh realms of revelation, wisdom, and insight. Come up higher. Stop seeing the confusion and evil going on around you from a merely earthly viewpoint. It is spiritual and it's supernatural. Take a seat beside me. See your surroundings from my position of omnipotence. Everything is not as it appears from down there. Come and see. Come up higher. Come and see. Amen." Oh, Father God, I feel like Bush right now because as we come up higher, man, as we're in your presence, it's indescribable. Lord, you're calling us all up higher. We hear of all the things. I so heard Jody's prayer this morning over Ukraine, over all the things that are going on in our country and abroad, Father God. But it all starts with each one of us coming up higher, coming up higher, seeing it from your vantage point, hearing you, pressing into you, trusting you that you will show us, that you will love us, that you will guide us, that you will direct us every step of the way. But really, what you're calling us to do is simple. It's not complicated. You're just calling us to come up higher, to watch how you do it, to drink in your love, to be obedient to your direction and your guidance. Thank you, Father. I pray again for every person here. Lord, I have so enjoyed been corrected, been challenged, been so hopeful. Not that wishful kind of hopefulness, like, oh, I hope so, but that hope that does not disappoint. The hope that is in you, Jesus Christ. Because in the end, it's all about you. It's all about your love. And I feel so privileged to be walking out this time on earth with you. And I'm looking forward to the days ahead, the years ahead. Oh, eternity is indescribable. But you're calling us to the here and now. You have things for us to do and experience and to come together as a church because it's good. Even in the midst of the evil, there is joy. There is joy because in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Within me, Holy Spirit, have your way. And I want to tap into you. I want to fully press into your fruits. Father God, I want joy to be my constant. I love you, Lord, so much. I thank you for this time. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow, what a great, refreshing, encouraging word from the Lord. You know, I think of, you know, when Carla was just talking, ministering, just about that sweet place, the secret place to come up higher, you know, that, and just really the admonition that it's not a religious one-way conversation, but it is a relationship. There's dialogue. He wants us to listen to what he's saying. You know, many times when we're trying to minister, you know, salvation, we'll try to locate people by that question. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And by that we mean, you know, if somebody says, well, I go to church, I'm a good person, we know that person needs to receive Christ into their life to have a relationship with God. We understand that. But this admonition, as Carla was just ministering today, it kind of asks that same question to us. Am I having a personal relationship with Jesus? Am I enjoying an active, come unto me, all you who labor? Am I receiving that meek and lowly heart that's speaking his words, that mercy and grace to help? And it's just such a sweet reminder and admonition that he loves us, that he's for us, and to come on up and to be able to see everything that he has for us. It is exciting to know that he wants to speak to our hearts and to not be afraid. Such a beautiful reminder of all those truths. He's canceled out the debt. It's okay. Come on, there's a new and living way. It's a safe place. Praise God. Thank you, Carla. Praise God.